That's a big God. God can use a system that's messed up to still do what he wants. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, to me, God was giving us a government that was going to have morality because we were coming out of a government that so lacked it. And you know what that was? That was a result of God's faithfulness to a church that began to pray, not from money stance, but from a stance of give us somebody who's moral. And I think it was a prophetic voice to the church that the church is going to clean up. That God in America, that God's going to start a move to clean up the church. And honestly, if you begin to listen to all the inner healing and deliverance and things that are coming forth, if you listen to Sid Roth and different things that are going on in the prophetic right now, it's gotten away from all the hoopla fun and party down to some serious cleansing and dealing with issues. And it's kind of reflects what I believe God did in another government. That's kind of cool. Because God's going to get that government in order as he gets the church government in order to bring in the harvest. Okay. What other governments did we... So we have parenting. I don't have time to go into all of this. We may go into more detail. You need to stop and think of where you probably judged your parents. You need to break the power of the judgment. You need to stop. And if you ever thought, I don't want to be a parent, or I never want to do this to my kids, or anything at all where you would come against God's ordained way for there to be parenting. Okay, we haven't looked at marriage. Let's go to Ephesians 5 then. Ephesians 21. Okay, and let me say this. I do not have time to preach Ephesians tonight. I really highly recommend everyone get either Reflecting the Heart of God, which is on marriage, which is powerful, which includes a lot of this, or the teaching on Ephesians, which I don't even know the name of that teaching. You were created for God's pleasure. Because you need to read Ephesians from the first chapter to the last chapter to really understand the heart of God about submission. But we're not teaching on submission tonight. We're teaching on not being rebellious. We're not really teaching on God's way he sets it up that would make it easy to submit to. We're actually looking at how to keep rebellion out of our heart if that's not what's happening in our own life. So he says here, I, having been subject to one another in the fear of God. I love this verse now. He starts in 21. You got to look at the whole flow of it. But he says, look, you're all subject to each other in the fear of the Lord. So he's, and there is another scripture that tells the husband, if you don't honor your wife, prayers won't be answered. And there's another, there is actually scripture where the husbands are to honor their wives and listen to them. So if you're going to truly raise godly children, God may actually give your wife an answer that you need. And if you become one who lords it over someone and you abuse the headship that Christ gives you, it can hinder your prayers. You will also be held accountable before the Lord for that. And so God gives you a lot of tips in here, if you want to call them tips, I call them straight out commands of how to do this thing right. We don't have time to get in that tonight, but that might be a good teaching sometimes. Let's look at what God says to help us to have these governments run correctly. But what we're looking at tonight is what the devil, we're looking at where Satan has perverted this so that we can't do this, where there's rebellion. So it says, wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. Women are not subjected to men anywhere in the scripture. There is not a gender subjection, okay? It's husbands and wives. And I'm not getting into it real quick because it's hard to preach this without saying a little bit. Headship. There's only one headship. There's only one spiritual headship. It's Christ and the church. There's only one natural headship. It's the husband and the wife. Because they specifically reflect to the world something very specific. It's not, a pastor is not a head. You're not, the world may say you're head of the company. God never says that, okay? You're an overseer. The Bible calls you an overseer. The Bible does not call the husband an overseer of the wife. There's a difference. When God chooses to use different terminology, there's a reason. The reason there's so much sexual sin in the church is because many people in leadership think that they have headship. Headship is about intimacy. Therefore, we've opened a straight line for the devil to come in and cause a lot of sexual sin in the church. You hear people say, well, they're your spiritual head. No, they're not. Run. Say, God, protect my spirit. I'm not going there. Okay? And you can study this out or go get the teaching. We've got lots on it. But the bottom line is the husband is the head. This is what this is. Because the husband is head of the wife, Christ is head of the church, and he is savior of the body. You're looking at the reflection. Natural, husband, headship. Spiritual, Christ, headship, not pastor. See where the devil wants us to take the Lord's place? Most perversion comes from Satan trying to get authority and power by taking the Lord's place. It's what he always wants to do. So we got to really understand the word, okay? But even as the assembly is subject to Christ, so also the wife, so their own husband, everything. It doesn't say even as the assembly is subject to the pastor. It doesn't say that. If they had headship, or even the apostle, it doesn't say that. Because that's where all the confusion is. The confusion is they're blurred. The natural reflection from the truth of the Spirit. And they don't mean to do it. I'm not coming. I think it's cool. God gives me these revelations. And then it all starts to make sense. Okay, all right. So they're leaders, but they're not headship. Headship means covering. Leaders are not called to cover anything. A husband, there's scriptures that say a husband covers the wife. That's because it's intimacy. The husband does cover the wife. And if you're having true intimacy and you're producing the fruit of the womb, there's no covering, folks. Covering is called birth control. And God says to multiply, be fruitful. I'm not going to do a whole thing about or for or against. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, get a concept of how intimate this is, okay? I have no trouble saying my husband covers me naturally. If he didn't, we would be having marital problems. But don't tell me my pastor's covering me or I have some real marital problems. And spiritual problems and every other kind of problem. Ooh, they're going to love hearing it this way. But this is how it is an abomination to the Lord. The Lord says, wait a minute. They're taking those scriptures and totally making up their own stuff. I never gave the right to leadership in my church to elders that I've given to the husband. The husband and the wife reflect a very intimate bride and bridegroom relationship that is not reflected with any other natural leader. Doesn't that make sense? So you can see where the perversion is. So yes, do you believe in? I believe that you can call my husband my natural covering if you want to, but don't you call him my spiritual covering. Don't you call a pastor our spiritual covering, because that's reserved for Christ and the church. And guess what? He covers the fivefold ministry. Every human being in the spirit, that reflection is the same. We're all, to every born-again believer, is to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and he is head of all, and we're subject to him.